Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Kevin Coban has been, well, covering the Confederations Cup over the last number of days in Mumbai, having a grand old time in a television studio for 18 hours a day.
Yeah. It's been good.
Must confess I have seen very little of it.
Yeah. Well, it's still, for all that FIFA will sell it, it still doesn't carry that glamour, does it? We have to say that. FIFA are saying it's the, what they're saying, it's the next big tournament. What they keep on throwing at, they threw out, Cristiano Ronaldo scored a penalty. They're saying, this is the only tournament that Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't scored, and now he's scored in every tournament. I mean, come on.
It was really bothering him for so long.
Yeah, and this is the sort of thing, but it still is, and you look at some of the sides that's out there, the experimental. They're going there with sides, or squads, should I say, that are with a view for next summer. That's where it is.
What's the general quality been like? Have there been high-scoring games, low-scoring games? Has it been an entertaining tournament?
High-scoring one was the Germany-Australia game. Germany beat Australia 3-2. Disappointing thing overall, I'd say, you probably, if you do look at it, is Russia. Russia as host nation next summer look poor.
Yeah.
I can't see them putting up any sort of, particularly with these allegations that have been brought against them as well, that they're all on some sort of performance-enhancing drug there this week. Or certainly, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That's the thing that they'd be taken with it. 2014, that's the thing. But
Russia's in just a bad state generally. So 2014, and they're all 23 members of the squad, if you haven't seen the news, are under investigation now, and FIFA have confirmed that due to irregular tests. And all of that team were playing domestically in the build-up to those tournaments.
So yeah.
That would set off alarm bells right away. But so they don't get out of their group against, or in Brazil, crash out there, and then against, people will remember the England game. I know they had a few injuries, but desperately poor against England at the Euros last year.
Yeah.
And so still poor, still no good.
Yeah, well, they're in there alongside New Zealand, Mexico and Portugal. And the outplayed New Zealand. New Zealand, I thought, played the wrong tactics against them. They were trying to play out from the back. They were trying to press against them. It suited Russia. Got a good 2-0 win against them. But in the other two games, it could have been, Russia beat them 1-0 with Ronaldo. You probably would have seen the header from Ronaldo, brilliant header from him. And they should have lost by a lot more in that game.
Yeah.
Poor Joe. That's the thing to take from you. The main three you're looking at are, I mean, the semi-final, of course, it's Portugal, Chile, Mexico, Germany.
Right.
The main three are certainly the big three that you would expect. Three of those inside the top eight, I think it is, Portugal, Chile. I think that'll be a good game.
Right.
First game, the way that Portugal played, he played Quaresma, he played João Martinho, and he left out the players with the real energy. Bernardo Silva, who's just gone, he came in for the second game, and Portugal changed. Portugal looked a total different side. The last couple of games that Portugal played, they were brilliant. Bernardo Silva looked really good. Ronaldo was right at it. Andre Silva was another one that came in for the second game. Now, not many might be aware of him. He's just got a €40 million move to AC Milan.
Yeah.
Joel, what a player this lad looks.
Right.
Real good goal scorer. He scored 8 goals in 11 international appearances. And he's got a good combination. They've got real energy in the side, so he can play up front with Ronaldo as a two. Brilliant the way that they move. He's good, he's physical. Plenty of flick-ons for Ronaldo. Ronaldo timed his runs off around him. They look to me like they got a good combo. That's the most eye-catching thing. Watching Portugal last summer board the way to the championship, albeit, you know, you've got to give them credit for doing it the way that they did it.
Yeah,
I'm seeing more the Portugal of old now, the introduction of this youth into the side as well. They look to me like they're going to be a real force next summer.
The only bit I've seen is about 15 minutes of Chile's draw with Germany in the group stages.
Yeah, it's the best game.
Was it?
With the most quality, definitely.
Right, well, Chile obviously played Portugal then in the semi-final. What I noticed about the Chile game was that Alexis Sanchez doesn't just hate his teammates at Arsenal. He basically hates all of his teammates. I'm wondering if Barcelona were the only team where he had a grudging respect for the players.
Well,
because I saw him like routinely high-pressing the German defence in possession and turning around, and it must have been the left back who wasn't coming with him, and he was just tearing into the left back.
Yeah.
And you could almost sense the rest of the team saying, oh, do we have to like high press these guys? You know, what, like, just calm down. So Sanchez has been at it.
He's been at it. If anyone saw his goal against Germany, it came from a high press. They went high press. Right. Germany tried to play out from the back. Mustafi gave the ball away.
Okay.
Arturo Vidal actually pressed him. They won the ball back. Alexis Sanchez went through and scored.
So Sanchez may have had a point when he was given out.
Yeah, he probably did. He probably recognised that that's certainly the way in. But Sanchez, anyone would think he probably wants to move away from Arsenal if you're watching him at this tournament, Joe, because the way, on honestly, the way that he's at it, he came off the bench in the first match, set up the goal for Vidal, brilliant header from Vidal, and then next two games, particularly that Germany game, he was right at it.
Right.
You know, by Munich in for him as well. No coincidence there, I don't think, but they were certainly a good watch. They've got the most experience. Germany have got the most inexperienced side,
right.
while Chile have got the most experienced side. Last two Copa Americas. So we're seeing a side that's developed and evolved together. Really, really good going forward, yeah.
Okay, so Portugal-Chile of the semi-finals looks like the one not to miss.
Yeah.
Germany against Mexico in the other semi. So an inexperienced Germany side, they've effectively used this competition to blood youngsters.
Yeah, Julian Brandt.
Big physical, massive team. And again, the 15 minutes against Chile, these are all big boys.
Yeah, I mean, most listeners are probably more than aware of the names now. Julian Brandt, he's the one that Rudi Völler is describing as a Ballon d'Or winner of the future. He does look very good.
Right.
He looks very elegant on the ball. There's Süle, who's just gone from Hoffenheim to Bayern Munich for €25 million. You've got Timo Werner. Now, Werner's won. He scored 21 goals last season for Hoffenheim. He's been getting booed by the German fans because of this. Sorry, plays for Leipzig, should I say, because of the Leipzig thing over in Germany. So there's been a little bit of that. But
I know Leipzig aren't popular. I didn't think it extended to booing
players. There's been a little bit of that.
Representing the national team.
There's been a bit of that. Yeah, I was very surprised. But he's been linked with Tottenham. Now, he looks a player, Joe, as well. Another one, physical. He's quick. He's strong. Good in the air. Scored two goals against Cameroon. He looks
would be an improvement on Janssen.
Definitely. Oh, certainly. Looked to me. He's 21 years old as well. And that's the thing that I touched on it earlier. A lot of these players could have been at the Euro under 21 championships, which is to win what you would think a serious tournament, really. And Joachim Löw, the Germany manager, he decided, look, it's about next summer. It's not about this summer now. We are, you know, they've not got the Özils. They've not got the Thomas Müllers, the Manuel Neuers. They've not got Jerome Boateng. A lot of the players they've left out to introduce these youngsters. And it's more with a view. They did it in the World Cup in 2006 that nearly went well for them, didn't it? You know, when we look back that far. This is almost like the next generation of Germany players. And all at top club, they look good, Joel. They do
Shockingly,
look very, very good.
They look good.
They do look very, very good, yeah. Okay. Very good.
They play Mexico in the semi-final. So the other big talking point from the Confederations Cup then has been the video assistant referee, all done with a view, I would think, from FIFA's point of view, to have this at the World Cup next year. So you're not overly impressed with this?
No, not... And it's something we have spoke about. And you're not a big fan of talking about referees' decisions, and I understand that a lot of people aren't. But
I just don't care.
But FIFA have made such a big thing of this.
Yeah, sure.
FIFA have come out after the first couple of games to say that they're very happy with the way. And we have to maybe stress that it is still a trial. It's the trial that they want ahead of the World Cup and for the leagues that it's been introduced into.
I am, by the way, interested in this. I don't care if Mark
Klattenberg
gets a penalty decision.
I wasn't meaning that. But I don't want to bore anyone with this. But
I think people would like to get your thoughts on this. So when it's not working well, what's going wrong?
They've got a. If anyone's seen, probably people would have seen that a couple of the calls early on. Chile had a goal disallowed when a lad's hand was offside. I was under the impression a lad's offside only when it's a part of his body that can actually put the ball in the net. So obviously a hand wouldn't be deemed to do that. So it shouldn't be. But a few of these decisions have got wrong. Now, the one very notable thing from it is the referees. The key decisions, they're not making a decision. Australia against Cameroon. Australia awarded a penalty. The referee, Joe, is in a brilliant position. He's about 5 yards away. Cameroon lad, reckless challenge, clear penalty. He then decides to go to the video. He makes the decision, gives the penalty, but then he decides, oh, hang on a minute here. I'm not too sure about this. I'll go up to the top to have a look at it.
Yeah.
When it was a clear... So what it's doing now, it's putting doubt in referees' minds, which... Okay, some might think, well, that's what it's there for. It's going to be clear cut, one way or another. But
that is human nature. That is what happens in rugby increasingly. I mean, Nigel Owens may be one of those, an exception, because he doesn't feel the need for a decision. He's confident in himself to go upstairs to the TMO. It's just human nature, as you said. Referee sees it, knows he's seen it, and then just thinks, oh, I've got the safety net, and people will crucify me if I don't go upstairs and it turns out I was wrong. So is that happening regularly, like decisions they should be just making?
A couple of them. Well, I'll maybe revert to another one as well. There was another incident in the Russia and who was the... I think it's... Anyway, Russia had a clear-cut penalty.
Right.
Clear-cut penalty. The fullback Zirkov fouled in the box. Penalty. Clear penalty. Referee doesn't make the decision, doesn't give it. Doesn't go up top to revert it because the game's carrying on. So there was a similar incident then about a couple of minutes later. Russia again, through on goal. Russian lad fouled in the box, referee plays on, but all of a sudden he gets word back from the top to say, look, you might need to review this one.
This is against Mexico.
This is against Mexico, sorry, yeah. You're right. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, both of them were the Mexico games. Anyway, one was a clear penalty, doesn't make the decision. Second one, a little bit iffy. I still thought it was a penalty.
Right.
So anyway, he goes up and reviews it, goes and has a look at it, doesn't give the penalty. And I'm thinking, how can he review that then and not give the decision? Because it's clear the lad was fouled. What happened was he was fouled and then threw himself to the ground. Okay. So it looked as though he's had a bit of a dive off the back of it, which he actually did, but it was a foul. It was a foul. And we've seen it. You know, if I'm trying to explain it to you now, is a lad's got the wrong side of him. So the defender's on the wrong side. Lad threw on goal. He barges him over. It was a penalty.
So is the issue here that the guy upstairs made the bad decision there?
Well, no, because the referee's gone to view it himself and he's then backed his initial decision.
Okay, so the referee said, I want to have a look at it myself.
Yeah, because he was told up top. So this is where the conflict in...
And are the referees meant to be looking at it themselves as well?
If it is iffy and they're unsure, the referee then can... Right. Do you remember when we were talking about it for the World Club Championship? The referee was spending too much time going off to the side of the pitch, reviewing the incidents. It's killing the game. It's taking too much time. The referee and something that I spoke about when that initial World Club Championships was on, the referee has got to have that trust with the guy up top, because if he's making that decision that we can all see, he's got to go with it.
And are we on television seeing what the referee is looking at?
That's the major point from it, Joe, as well. You watch the rugby and you're getting that transparency. You know what the referee and the video analysis lads are looking at. The same in cricket, the same in other sports. In this, you're not getting anything. All you're seeing, you're getting in the corner of your TV screen, you've got a dark screen with TV, a dark little picture with the video analysis, assistant referee, should I say, looking at the screens. That's all you're getting at. So you're not getting any sort of word what the referee's saying, any sort of dialogue. You're not hearing what's being said between the two.
Right.
So it's unclear what they're actually looking at. There was a goal that was disallowed in the Russia, in the Portugal. I'm trying to think of all these games
doesn't
now.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No. But what happened was, Joe, the offside was maybe the second or third phase before the goal was scored by Pepe.
Oh, yeah, okay. So they're not clear on how many phases they can go back.
Well, exactly. Apparently, it's in the lead up to a goal. But this was probably 10 seconds before, 15 seconds before. It was another couple of phases.
Yeah.
Another couple of phases, and I don't think they should go back that far.
And it struck me they're in real borderline territory there, where they don't know themselves how many phases of play they should go back.
Totally. And then all of a sudden, the referee gives it. He seems quite happy. FIFA happy, but I don't think that should be given. I think it's got to be something that's directly in with a goal, a penalty, or whatever it will be.
See, this is going to be the difficulty, because you say that, and it's a perfectly legitimate point. But then somebody else will say, "Well, no, I think you should go back 2, 3, 4 phases."
I know.
And equally, how long does a phase of play last? I mean, there might be just a ball could be headed clear and go straight.
If you're talking Spain here, Spain literally hold onto the ball for 5 and 10 minutes at a time, don't they? Yeah.
So, you know, there could be an instance where a ball is headed clear and goes straight back in, and that's all fair enough if the guy was pushed heading the ball or something. But what if the ball is headed clear and it's 4 or 5 minutes of possession and then it goes back in? You know, and where do you draw the line? I also saw there was one farcical moment where the wrong Cameroon player was sent off.
Well, this was the most ridiculous one. That was the video assistant upstairs that actually sent the wrong man off.
Yeah.
The referee then, after the Cameroon players have started to have a bit of a go at the referee, he's then gone back and watched it and he sent the right man off. So
there's an element with that of, okay, that's just human error and they're just going to have to make sure to have better people upstairs. I think the most long-term problem for them, based on what you're saying, is going to be how many phases of play they go back. That's the tricky one.
I think the time as well, Joe, it's taking to make these decisions.
Really? And is everyone just standing
around? It seems drawn out.
Hands on their hips.
Well, the problem is we've seen goals. The player's going off celebrating the goal and it's like, hang on a minute, lads. This might not be given now. So the celebration's gone ahead, and then you're waiting another minute and a half, whatever it is, and the referee's then is, okay, we can have the goal. So the celebration again.
Yeah.
It just becomes very, very mundane, very manufactured. It just doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And, we all know, every Irish fan knows about the Henry thing. We know these things that we would have liked to have had video referees in place for these sort of incidents. But it seems to me now that this is going to take the decisions away from the referee. It's going to draw out the game far too much.
Okay.
And I don't think how they're deploying it here at the Confederations Cup is going to work long term.
Interesting, because usually in the other sports, it's basically instantly been accepted as this is working. So that's an interesting rough start for video assistant referee.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.